It's time for JT the Brick.
The Raider offseason is about content that is productive.
Shotgun to O'Connell. Backpedaling, lobbing to the end zone, trying to get at him. Makes the grab! Touchdown, Raiders!
I thought Aiden O'Connell played pretty well last year. He's a quarterback who's serviceable.
Now pressure. Gets out of there. Crosby's got it from behind! Back at the 45-yard line!
There's no better player who plays with heart and passion and speed than Mad Max Crosby. Wait till you see him this upcoming season.
JT the Brick.
Dot to throw. Spillane on the blitz, and he wraps him up and holds him up for a sack.
I love the addition of Jack Jones. All the plays he made last year will be a great addition for this team moving forward.
Intercepted down the sideline. Intercepted Jack Jones, and he walks in. Touchdown.
And now.
All right, now we're good. Let's get to it.
Here's JT the Brick.
Raider Nation Unite. Good to have you here. We are brought to you by Grimaldi's. When I say it's the best pizza I ever had, it is. And my dad agrees with me. And my dad means everything to me. So when I think of Grimaldi's, I think of my dad. Hands down, the best pizza I've ever had. Only at Grimaldi's Pizzeria can you get the famous New York-style coal-fired brick oven pizza that you crave. And now available in slices, man. I grew up getting slices of pizza and then large pies. Weekdays for lunch, bundle your giant slices with a house or Caesar salad, soda, iced tea for only $9.99. Grimaldi's knows I'm dedicated to them. I tell the kids we order ahead. They go pick it up. They come back. We get the Brooklyn Bridge, extra ricotta. Get the salads. Love the Mediterranean and the Caesar. Eat it out by the pool in the summertime. Eat it during football Sundays, Grimaldi's. Dine in, carry out, and delivery, GrimaldisPizzeria.com. And thank you, Grimaldi's, for being a tremendous partner, providing the $50 gift cards to give away to our loyal fans throughout the season. Oh, and Grimaldi's, thank you for Costa Mesa, for sending us to Costa Mesa there as they were one of our great, proud partners there, which we love. Vince Sapienza will join us here in a moment. The way I look at the pulse of this show, the pulse is me. Moi. My pulse drives the show. I'm summertime radio right now, Bobby. You know, we did a summer series on the best games of all time. Super Bowl 18 came in number one. Super Bowl number 11 came in number two. Super Bowl 15 came in number three. Number four, the 11 Angry Men, the 67 championship game. We had Red Ride 88 goes to the post. That took some work, man. We didn't just show up every day and grab two sound bites. We dove into that. And now we're wrapping up summertime radio, which means, hey, man, this isn't the end of the world radio. End of the world, Super Bowl, like Guardians of the Gate, the Galaxy, Game of Thrones is the Charger game. So I'm going to go from like a 3 or 4 in intensity to a 10. With the head coach, by the way. That's confirmed. He's ready to go for that game, too. The guy from Compton, the guy who's straight out of Compton, Antonio Pierce, he's ready to go for that game, too. But we can't go too early. Got to make sure we peak at the right time as we get going here for hour number two. Russell Baxter, the football guru, will also join us here. There was an earthquake in L.A. yesterday, 4.4. As the NBA Today was on, Malika Andrews, I saw the video of that. She handled that beautifully. Hard to host with an earthquake. But for those who were affected, we got a lot of fans in Southern California. So hopefully no big issues there. If you're looking to go to these practices and all this, the open practices, you're going. A lot of people are going in town. Just go early. What else are you going to do? Get inside the stadium. Park. The alphabet lots, there'll be limited parking. You could go park and pay if you want at Mandalay Bay and then walk over the Hacienda Bridge. You could Uber, ride share, or take the RTC. If you take the RTC and they have buses, and it's all out there on Raiders social media. I voiced it the other day, and you can see all that. So just get there early, get inside, have a lot of fun. It's pretty hot. One of the only downsides of Raider Nation in Vegas is it's tough to tailgate in August and September. That won't be a problem this year because our home opener is the third game of the year. So it won't be as hot as it's been, assuming that. So it'll be good tailgate weather. Hey, I'm happy to welcome Vince Sapienza to our team here on Raider Nation Radio now in the mornings with Vinny Bonsignore and Clay Baker. We go back a long way. And Vince, congratulations on this great opportunity. Good to hear from you, man. How was it today?
Thanks, JT. We made it. We did it. We finally came full circle. For those that don't know the story, I interned under you for a number of years, and then made my way to Vegas, and here we are. It was a great first show. those 3 hours flew by.
Nice.
I had so many notes. I didn't even get halfway through, which has got to point to good news. But, you know, like I said, just wanted to follow in the footsteps. I just keep hearing I'm getting paid to talk sports and Lodello and Grimaldi's. I need a piece of pie.
You will get pie. You will get $50 gift cards. I can promise you on that. But, I mean, I've talked about this with you for years. We've been friends a long time. And, you know, you're a really busy guy because of your Golden Knights and Raiders coverage and doing live hits at 10 o'clock and sometimes 11 o'clock coming out of T-Mobile after a Golden Knights game. And now you're up early in the morning to do radio. So that's an added responsibility that it seems like you're really excited about.
Yeah, as we've talked about, this is what we do, right? I mean, we eat, live, breathe sports. And here in Vegas, Raider Nation, man, how do you not live and eat and die for the silver and black? So, yeah, obviously it's going to be a lot, but I'm excited to give some takes, give some energy, get the day started for Raider Nation the right way, because wins, losses, people have got a lot to say. They need to get it off their chest. We want to hear them, and we want to bring you the best that we can and provide you the best with, and that's with players and coaches and things of that nature. So, yeah, super excited, great team. On the morning tailgate, and the best is just yet to come.
Yeah, Vince, your backstory, too. You know, we worked together back in the day at Fox Sports Radio, but then you came to the ground and hit the ground running and built relationships with Mark Davis as they were building this stadium. You were one of the few guys that had access to the owner as they put shovels in the ground and tried to get this to the finish line on budget and on time, building the stadium. So what was that process like?
Yeah, you know, it was fascinating from the Southwest trips to Oakland to the Raiders relocation boat in Arizona. And then the construction of Allegiant Stadium was unlike anything I've ever covered in my 10-plus years in broadcasting. It was, I mean, it was a feat on and of itself. What those workers and what those people did to get that stadium up and running and the time frame in which they did is something that still has never been done anywhere else. So the people here in Las Vegas are one of a kind. And telling those stories, getting to have that relationship with Mark Davis, who, you know, can be misunderstood a lot of the time, but one thing that has been made very clear to me is how much he values relationships and how much he values the hardworking person, which I think is a testament to who Raider Nation is. And that showed itself during that construction of Allegiant Stadium, being able to tell those stories and him shaking every hand and taking every picture or selfie or signing every autograph when he would host those lunches for the workers every other week or so. So, yeah, I mean, that was just an invaluable time and crazy to look back on it. As you know, we get set for another season here in Las Vegas. We walk in those doors of Allegiant Stadium and we forget just – sometimes we forget just how incredible it was that thing was built, when it was built, and how it was built in the time frame that it was. So I definitely look back, and that was definitely a highlight in terms of the career, and I think it will always be, just because the relationships made with the workers and the Raider Nation itself.
Vince Sapienza, the newest member of our morning show, The Morning Tailgate, with Clay Baker and Vinny Bonsignore. And then the Golden Knights, you and I are both cut from the same cloth. There's going to be days where it's, you know, quiet or a segment or so, and you get a chance to have a connection or tell a story from the night before. You go to a lot of UFC. I see you at boxing. Even though Raiders will be the focus here on the flagship of the Raiders, you're all-encompassing as you like to go to all the sports that we see here in the Valley.
I mean, how can you not? I mean, when everything is here and we have the ability and the access, I mean, you'd be a fool to not take advantage the way we do. But, yeah, I mean, it's all about telling stories, JT. You know, it's all about telling the stories here in Las Vegas. Obviously, the Raiders will be the focus, but everything ties back to the silver and black somehow. I'm working on a story right now for Fox 5, and we're going to hear from the man coming up on the morning tailgate here in the next few weeks about one of the guys who trained with Max Crosby in MMA, one of the most famous coaches in mixed martial arts, who told me he believes if Max Crosby wanted to, in a year, he could be one of the top UFC fighters in the promotion. It's a testament to his love for the sport, a testament to just the athlete, the freak specimen that he is. I mean, as good as he is at football, he could be just as good as UFC. So for one of the top guys in that world to say that is fascinating. That's a story you'll see on Fox 5, and he's a guy you're going to hear from on the morning tailgate. Just one of many guests we're going
to
have.
Well, I'm up before 6:30 every morning to get in the stock market or look around and keep an eye on some of my assets there. You'll be up earlier than that to drive to come to studio and do the show. And with young kids that you have, and you have a great wife who I met, you'll be able to handle this schedule that some nights will end late, start early, and then you'll thrive for the weekends like I do, and we'll have a Modelo together.
JT, that's why they made espresso. I'm just pumping it through the veins on the regular. It's going to be a good time.
Take care, Vince. Good luck, man.
Thanks, JT.
You got it. Hey, support our friend Vince Sapienza. As we said with everybody, he is the newest member of our morning show team. Doing mornings is Bobby... is winking, and we're laughing a bit. Doing mornings is different. I've been doing this 27 years. I choose not to do mornings or nights, Friday nights. But I'm like a bartender now. I've said this. My wife's like, you're working Labor Day. I'm like, yeah, I'm working Labor Day. The Labor Day? I go, yeah. I got a big shift on Mad Dog Sports Radio, so I'll work 4 hours on Labor Day. I can have cervezas after that. It's a long day, Labor Day. I got married on Labor Day. And as you know, Bobby, it's coming up on my 25-year wedding anniversary coming up. Now I got to decide what I'm doing that day. Because, I mean, look, I got the best wife in the world, you know? We know that. But I could work 2 hours that day and still do it. You know what I need that day for my 25-year? I need something good. I need a staycation because I can't get out. It's on a Wednesday. Ooh, it's on a Wednesday, which is not the end of the world because we'll probably do something the weekend before. We got a big trip lined up for next summer. Goodbye. Not doing that again. I'm not doing that again. Don't worry about summertime radio. I'll be here. I'll be here, but the Comrex box might be set up in Europe or something. But, yeah, I got some big events coming up here. 25 years. This is the year my son graduates from ASU, hopefully. He's smart. He's on budget, on time. So the last one, last big out-of-state college tuition check. You wonder why I got all these partners, man. We're paying for college. I can see the finish line, man. I can see it out there in Tempe. Or no, it's in Scottsdale now. He's a senior. Tempe, he's got to be in Scottsdale. Senior year there. So we'll set that up and do that. So I'm going to travel. And then my mom and dad, 86, 85. So I'm going to be taking a couple of bi-week trips and some other trips over to Florida to check in on the folks. Because you always got to check in on the folks and do all that. But once football season starts, my day starts on Sunday with the Raiders. And it's the pre and post game on the radio, and then it's Mad Dog at night from 8 to 11 p.m., which is a long day. That's a long Sunday. I don't know anybody works a longer Sunday than moi. Then on Monday, we got a Raiders TV show with Eric Allen and a new special guest this year. You'll know who that is. And then we got radio every day. And then I got Monday night at Wynn, and then Tuesday, it's just back here on Raider Nation Radio. And then Wednesday, we're going to be doing something at the Raiders, which we can't wait to announce on one of our platforms. It's 6 days a week. Only day off is Saturday, and I'm good with that because when you get an opportunity to work for an NFL team and work on an NFL flagship and do a little syndication, a little national radio, you do it all. You do it all. You don't turn anything down. As Belichick says, no days off. No, we need Saturday for me, Bill. We need Friday nights for me because you got to get the Friday night and Saturday night in because we got a lot of events happening with the Raiders on Friday and Saturday nights. Got one tonight that I'm excited about over at the Shift 4 Club over at Allegiant Stadium. Roland Williams, that's going to be a lot of fun as we continue. And get ready to practice. Hopefully see a couple of people on the sidelines tonight as the Raiders have an open practice for certain guests. Tomorrow's the open stadium practice, which will be really cool. So we are busy. This week kind of came flying out of nowhere. Hey, man, how cool is it? Our new partner, Tito's Handmade Vodka, America's original craft vodka. It's one of the America's greatest success stories distilled on the same land where it all started in Austin, Texas. Tito's is made from corn and naturally gluten-free. I've been drinking Tito's for quite some time. It tastes better. It's a great vodka, and the success story is amazing. Look for some recipes, videos, and as we say, the charity work that they do with pets. We had a meeting with them. I couldn't believe it, what they do with pets and dogs and incredible as we dive into that. You can find it all at titosvodka.com. Coming up next, the football guru, Russell Baxter, will join us. He was at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He goes every year. He was the researcher for Tom Jackson and Chris Berman all those years on the NFL's coverage on ESPN. He's a frequent guest for us when the season starts. Gave him the summer off, so we'll talk to him coming up. as we continue on the flagship of the Silver and Black. This is Raider Nation Radio, brought to you by Boyd Gaming. Local, local, locals when it comes to the Raiders and Boyd.
You said that Brandon Ayuk is taking part in meetings. Is there anything that he's able to do or has done on the field, whether it's just, you know, running routes with the quarterbacks or anything of that nature?
Not with us. You know, I trust Brandon knows what he's got to do for this year to get ready to play. I have a feeling he's finding a way to stay in shape and do those things. But there's a football shape element that I know he's eager to get back to, and us too. So hopefully we can get to that soon. But Brandon knows what he's got to do to be in shape for the season, and I feel confident he's doing that.
Kyle Shanahan on Brandon Ayuk, and no news on this. JT, back with you. Raiders waive Keelan Doss to make move for Nathan Peterman. I'll find out more about that tonight when I'm over there. We'll figure it out. We got to practice tomorrow. I don't think it's an end-of-the-world deal. They want to have Nathan Peterman's experience. I wasn't impressed with the way the third and fourth string quarterbacks played. And, look, it's going to be a big deal heading into this weekend here. Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell, whoever plays better, and maybe who plays better won't be the starter. It'll be the entire body of work. But Antonio Pierce is getting ready to make a decision coming up here. Russell Baxter, the football guru, love talking to him, and he's kind enough to join us on the flagship of the Raiders. Russell, thanks for doing this. And I saw you with Tom Jackson and Chris Berman. You put out a nice picture over at the Hall of Fame. How was this class, and what was some of the bright spots for you in Canton?
Well, it had such a modern feel to it, and once again, it had a defensive feel to it, as well as the special teams field. I was so happy to see Devin Hester get in because maybe that now opens the door down the road for guys like Steve Tasker and Matthew Slater. And I'm not going to be surprised next year, JT, because I think Adam Vinatieri is first-time eligible next year. And I'd be shocked if he wasn't a first-ballot Hall of Famer, considering he's the leading scorer in NFL history and postseason history. More field goals than anybody in regular season and postseason history. He's got quite the resume, but guys like Eli Manning, Luke Kuechly are also first-time eligible. But, again, the modern feel, Patrick Willis, Julius Peppers, Dwight Freeney, Andre Johnson. Obviously, Randy Gradishar was a guy who waited for an awful long time. And as you mentioned, Tom Jackson, who was his presenter and his teammate for that whole time Randy was there and so on. And then a very, very touching moment watching Steve McMichael and his family, you know, get his bust and everything at his home, given the, you know, the unusual circumstances and so on. And I'm just glad he was able to be there and enjoy it. It's always a very, very stirring event. You know, I get to go to the jacket ceremony on a Friday, which is very, very special. They bring back at least 100 of the Hall of Famers in their gold jackets and so on. And you know, as time goes on, and I've been going to this thing pretty regularly, JT, since 1989. And you see guys who, you know, it's a little tougher to get around now. And it's a little tougher than to climb up on that stage. And but that brings back such a memory rush and so on. So it's something I enjoy. And I will say this, you know, my friends Chris and Tommy are not necessarily social media savvy. You know, they're of a different generation. I've had to adjust to social media. But I can tell you this. I put that picture up on Twitter, I think Saturday night. And within 24 hours, it got 16,000 views. I think a lot of people miss the original NFL primetime that Chris and Tommy made into a legendary show. And I was lucky enough to be along for the ride.
Yeah, you're a big part of that. Russell Baxter, give him a follow. BAX, Bax Football Guru. So I'm going to give you the three guys that are holding out, Hassan Reddick, Brandon Ayuk, and CeeDee Lamb. In, you know, from one to three, three to one, however you want to do it. Let's get into all three of these players and how they could really hurt their teams if they're not ready to play early, because all those teams have aspirations not only go deep into the playoffs, but maybe the Niners to go back to another Super Bowl.
Well, I'll start with CeeDee Lamb because he's obviously such a big part of the Dallas offense. He led the league in catches. He was an all-pro this past season. He had some electrifying moments, especially against the Lions on that wild Monday night game. But the Cowboys are in a peculiar position because they're a team that has not been able to sign a lot of veterans this offseason, and they've got some pending contract issues. You know, Dak Prescott can become a free agent next year. You know, that he's not a holdout, but, you know, not having Lamb and Prescott together is a major issue. They're, you know, they're very devoid of talent in the backfield. You know, they don't have Michael Gallup is no longer with the team. He's retired after he signed with the Raiders. So I'm not sure what Dallas is going to do offensively. They need to get that situation done. Unfortunately, as you know, as well as anyone, Jerry Jones has a habit of overpaying his players and it leaves him strapped. I mean, don't you find it amazing that the cap went up over $30 million this season and the Cowboys are still in financial trouble?
Yeah, Russell Baxter is our guest, no doubt about that. And look, Jerry pays a lot of guys. Jerry is very generous with the guys he loves. If you look at all the years, Emmitt Smith had the most famous holdout. It was for two games. Yeah. He breaks, Emmitt comes in, they win the Super Bowl. But Ayuk is the interesting one to me because I think he's elite. He's a number two receiver to Debo. Debo's the number one. He's number two. Kittle and McCaffrey's a one. Overall, might be one of the best offensive players, period, in the league. And I still have Ayuk in the top 10 of receivers. And Kyle Shanahan's a brilliant play caller. I don't think he's a brilliant head coach. I think he's a brilliant play caller. I don't think the Niners can win without Ayuk. Tell me how they get this deal done, or if they move him, how they get back to the Super Bowl.
Well, this thing has been so fluid. I mean, you know, first he's staying, and then the Patriots have made a deal with him, apparently. And then they pull out, and then the Browns pull out. And, you know, it seems like Pittsburgh is still kind of in the mix. You know, but I agree with you. I think he's a top talent. And I think they need to have him back there because the one thing about Debo Samuel, who is a multi-versed performer, not only as a receiver but as a runner as well, is the fact that he has had problems. Because of his physical style, he's had a few problems staying healthy. Now, I will say this, and if the 49ers would have won the Super Bowl this past season, losing to Kansas City in overtime, Juwan Jennings could have very easily been the most valuable player of Super Bowl 58 with a touchdown catch and I believe a touchdown pass. And, you know, he did a little bit of everything in that game. So, I we're getting close to the start of the regular season. I would hope this is not going to extend into there. But a lot of this also has to do with what San Francisco wants from Pittsburgh and what Pittsburgh is willing to pay. And Pittsburgh is not a team that overpays for players. But I agree with you. I think the 49ers need him back. And I will also agree with something else you just said, that I believe Kyle Shanahan is a great play caller. But I have my questions about him as a head coach. And, you know, fair or unfair, you know, he's been involved in three Super Bowls in less than 10 years, be it an offensive coordinator or a head coach. And in each one of those games, his team had a double-digit lead, and they failed to win the game.
Russell Baxter, as we wrap it up. So you're really into stats, too. And when there's a young quarterback, I watched Jaden Daniels' opening drive against the Jets. He went right downfield, a big pass. You know, he ran for a touchdown. I was on the call for the Raiders and the Vikings, and J.J. McCarthy got picked off by Jack Jones and the Raiders ones, but he ate up the Raiders two and threes. And Bo Nix played very good. But if you're not going up against the ones, one defense of the other team the entire time. Russell, how do you do this all these years when you look at a young quarterback and he comes in a game and he throws a couple of touchdowns or looks good, but you know he went up against the twos and threes of the opponent? It's hard to judge a player under those circumstances.
Yeah, and I don't really look at stats and I don't look at final scores in preseason games. The one thing I like to do when I'm watching, and I'll go back to the old – was it Dan Reeves said, never let him see you sweat? I've always believed that one of the reasons that Tom Brady and Ben Roethlisberger were able to come into the league right away is even though they might not have known what the hell they were doing when they got there, they never gave that impression to their teammates. And there was one throw that Bo Nix made, I think it was Cameron Sutton on the sidelines, that showed amazing poise and arm strength. And Caleb Williams had a pass, I think, on third down and up the middle of the field that resulted in the first down. The idea for these young players is not to get rattled, okay? And we see veterans get rattled. We see veterans get sacked and cough up the football. The idea is here with these young players who are now more groomed to the passing game and more groomed to start than in previous generations and decades and so on, is to make it look like they belong. And, you know, from what you could see early on, and again, it's an incredibly small sample size, but nobody, for lack of a better word, JT, no one seemed to have the yips out there in the first week of the preseason.
That is a great way to surmise what happened early part of the preseason. Give him a follow at Backs Football Guru, also fan-sided, all the work that he puts out. I like to talk to him a bunch during the regular season. We get him here in the preseason. Russell, good to talk to you. We'll be in touch soon again. Thank you.
You too.
Thank you, Russell. Russell, we appreciate you coming on here. Met Russell Baxter, the football guru. Brought to you by the DeCasta Verde Law Group that was founded by their dad, a Cuban immigrant who participated in the Bay of Pigs, fled the Castro regime before becoming a personal injury attorney in the U.S. It's an amazing legacy story of two brothers. The brothers win. The brothers have your back with the legacy of their dad. Truly is a fascinating story. They're part of our family here at Raider Nation Radio. Their law group, family run, deep ties into the community, which is why we become friends and we're partners, because I understand what it means to have attorneys that could fight for you and treat you like family. And that's what they do. Look, you might not need an attorney. You might not need a personal injury attorney. These are your guys. The brothers have your back. Brothers win. And I'm telling you, they're my guys. Put their number in your phone, 702-222-9999. We could have a late arrival here. D. Bruce, I reached out to him. He got back to me. Damon has a podcast and a YouTube page. We go back a long way. At times he's not Raider friendly. At other times he is. I don't know what I'm going to get. But the breaking news in San Francisco, could Brandon Ayuk be gone real quickly here by the end of the day to Pittsburgh? We'll get an update from Damon possibly coming up next here on the flagship of the Raiders.
Situation with Brandon, just as a teammate with his, not knowing whether he's going to be here or not, the ramped up, you know, conversation and reports about a possible trade. How do you guys deal with that in-house?
No, for me, I don't deal with it. You know, that's not part of my job. It's not part of my position. I think obviously as a former teammate, or, you know, teammate of his in general, any teammate that you have, you love, you respect them, you want the best for them. As far as the business side of this game goes, it's always difficult, and so I stay out of it completely. You know, that's way above my pay grade, and I just try to focus on what I can do every single day. But obviously we always wish the best for any of our teammates, whether they're here or not. Obviously we hope he's here. Just, you know, it's a tough part of the business.
Ooh, Christian McCaffrey, is he saying goodbye to Brandon Ayuk? Turn up the Dead and Company, man. They've made a lot of money at the Sphere, man. I'm all for it. I'm an original Deadhead, Jerry Garcia, but I had a chance to go see Dead and Company twice, and I loved it. I loved it. Here's my guy, Damon Bruce, man. Haven't talked to him in a while, Damon. You just heard the Dead and Company left town with hands of gold. As you heard, they made a lot of money. How are you, buddy?
Don't you let that deal go down. I love it. I love it. Who would have ever thought that without Jerry Garcia, the Dead would still be around? And I said, John Mayer, he can rip, man. He can rip. So if you can see him, do see him. I'm sorry I couldn't make it back in to go see them, but they'll be back. They'll be back. There's too much gold waiting for him in the Sphere to not be back.
Yeah, the Fish and Dead and Company, the Eagles are coming up next, no doubt. Hey, let me ask you about Ayuk and how you're covering this story with your vast audience on YouTube, because it's bizarre to me, because I don't think Kyle can win the Super Bowl without him. But if you bring in a really good player and you get some draft picks, it's nice. But that's not what the Niners are doing now. They're in a window to win the Super Bowl. How much is this negotiation putting that in jeopardy?
Oh, look, I'm telling you, JT, this was supposed to be the first smooth offseason in a very long time. And it's been a choppier offseason than any offseason where they were dealing with –
you know, Brock Purdy coming off of an injury, or is it going to be Brock or Jimmy or Trey Lance? I mean, this has been a little bit of a disaster. Mike Silver, who long covered the NFL for NFL Network, he's a Bay Area guy. He's now out here covering the team, writing for the San Francisco Chronicle. He dubbed this the bad vibes summer, and he's right. It has just been headache after headache. Now all these injuries, which have led the 49ers to cancel a joint practice with the Saints down in Southern California. And, boy, a whole bunch of media people, by the way, just found out they can't get reimbursed their B&Bs, and everybody's really angry that the Niners didn't share that they were canceling this, you know, 48 hours earlier, because big plans were made. But it's been a mess. And this Brandon Ayuk situation, look, you're right. This is a really good player. But you can't let a really good player who's under contract start dictating the terms of his re-signing or his trade. This is not the NBA. This is not how the NFL works. And there is a little precedent that the 49ers don't want to set by, you know, caving to Ayuk. But at the same time, the goal of this season isn't to set further precedent for players. It's to win a Super Bowl. So I really think that we need to put some egos aside. We need to not care about any reactionary coverage and just get this guy a dollar amount that makes this go away, because they need him and they need Trent Williams, and neither of those guys have been in yet, and that's why the bad vibes are real.
Damon Bruce is our guest. It sounds like Kyle's getting a little spicy also with Trent Williams. Now, Trent Williams is a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's an elite player, but his prime is behind him, and he can play another year or two at a Pro Bowl level, but how dare he ask for more money? And I mean, come on. I can see if he was 26, 24, 31, why is he doing this? Because, Damon, a lot of people I've been around in football, including Hall of Famers, have always said, hey, we can come into camp late. We can come in late. You know, we're veterans, we're legends, we're going to the Hall of Fame. We missed 2 weeks. It's not going to be a big deal. But the way the fines are happening now, and Goodell's making these fines stand firm, what is Williams doing to the chemistry in this locker room, or are the Niners just not worried about it?
I think there's a part of them that's not worried about it. I also think that there's a little bit of part of them that says, okay, this is a good way to take, you know, unimportant reps off of your body. Training camp, Veterans Days, whatever you want to call it. Trent Williams, I think, would need about 10 to 12 days to really ramp up for a season. He's a little too old to just walk off the street and start playing football. But like you said, he's first ballot Hall of Famer. He's in a small photo of great offensive linemen in this league right now. And because of that, he wants to be paid. You know, you find me the paycheck that you determine, yeah, that's enough. You know, don't need any more after that. All these guys want to make as much as they can while they're in it. And I think when they start seeing their career life cycle wind down, you want as much money to come across the counter as humanly possible in the short amount of time you're going to be sitting at the counter. So, we have seen Trent Williams hold out before. He held out from a highly dysfunctional Daniel Snyder Washington team. This is not a highly dysfunctional team. This is a highly functional team. And he is doing them no favors right now. But this is one of those, give that guy a little bit more cash to just make him feel good, guarantee him some dollars. If he is looking at his career further than just, I've got one season left, like, if you're the Niners, I think that benefits you. So if I were the Niners, I would embrace sitting down and getting Trent taken care of. The Brandon Ayuk situation, though, has turned into a little bit of war of wills, and it's a tad uglier.
You know, the Raiders, they don't make the playoffs, and they have to open up against the Harbaugh brothers back-to-back on the road. The Niners go to the Super Bowl. They get the Jets at home, at the Vikes with Sam Darnold. The Rams game will be tough, but that, you know, that might be the biggest Niner crowd, and they had big ones in Vegas, too. Then the Patriots, the Cardinals at home, at Chino and the Seahawks. I'm looking at the schedule again. I think the Niners aren't freaking out, because other than the Jet game, which is high profile, and at the Vikings and these Patriot-Cardinals game, they got a lot of wins early on that schedule until they get to October 20th with the Chiefs at home and the Cowboys at home here. So are the Niners kind of too cool for school because they know what the team they have. They can navigate through the early portion of the schedule.
And they might be good enough to do just that. But, boy, does the price of poker go up the deeper you get into that schedule, JT. It's a gauntlet waiting for them. And they do need to stack early wins. There would be nothing more damaging to their playoff chances, Super Bowl aspirations, however you want to frame what they're supposed to be this year, than some sort of a early stumble, big miscue or there, not adapting to the new kickoff return hybrid rule, and they screw. I mean, they need to come out of the first 6 weeks of this season looking at 5-1, worst case scenario 4-2, because it's a middle and back loaded schedule for them. So having such a choppy offseason, again, never speaks to it's going to be a quick start. It's everything's going to be fantastic. You know, I've never seen a player hold out, Nick Bosa included, who just, you know, despite the holdout, came in and was just crackerjack right from day one. So I hope that this is an issue that they can get behind them this week, because we're running out of weeks to play with before this starts for real.
I couldn't wait to ask you this one, because you've covered Steph Curry's entire career close up. I believe you can add to your legacy by winning gold medals. I mean, Scottie Scheffler's got a green jacket and he's got majors, but he came from behind and destroyed John Rahm in France and won a gold medal. And that is just super elite. How do you look at what Kerr and Steph did with LeBron and Durant with that team? And how does that add to the great legacy of the Warrior dynasty in the name of Steph Curry and Steve Kerr?
It is the cherry on top of an incredible sundae that he has been serving to us for 15 years now. And what the world watched Steph Curry do with their jaws open, can't even believing the shots he's getting off and making. We call that Wednesday around here. You know what I mean? Like, we have been spoiled rotten by this guy, and the entire world, including some people that have, you know, had fun rooting against him, finally got to root for him. And I think everybody realized how excellent it is and how much fun it is to root for Steph Curry. I'll tell you what I think is one of the coolest moments of the entire thing. It's not just that they won the gold medal, but he is on the court with the two players that he is most compared with in terms of, you know, future Hall of Fame contemporaries in LeBron James and Kevin Durant. And the two of them deferred to Steph Curry when it mattered most. Yeah. The two of them, on the shot that everyone's calling the greatest shot in Olympic history, he kicked it to Durant. Durant kicked it right back. Even knowing that Curry was looking at a double team, Durant gave it right back to him. So you have two of the all-time greats deferring to Steph Curry, who gets to walk among the all-time greats on equal footing. He is not a less than because he's shorter than LeBron or Durant. He is on that one line of NBA excellence, and the entire world got to enjoy it, and it was spectacular. He is deserving of this. And it helps frame what is already one of the most glorious careers the league has ever seen.
Real quick follow-up on that. He needed that gold medal. To say he didn't, yeah, in NBA history, but internationally, where some of the great players in the Basketball Hall of Fame were international players. I like what you said, the cherry on top. He had to get a gold medal. And Carmelo, Durant, look at Durant's legacy at the Olympics and LeBron. This was big for Steph. I mean, his golf game didn't get in the way because he played a lot of late playoff games building a dynasty with the Warriors. But I got to imagine that he understood he had to have this in his overall body of work, and now he has it. And I'm assuming he'll go, you know, 4 years from now is a long way, but he'll still be able to hit corner threes in Los Angeles. I expect him to play again.
I do as well. I really do as well, and I'm also telling you, JT, watch LeBron be on that team. I swear to God, I don't think he's going anywhere. I really don't. So I do think that Curry is going to get another bite at the apple. He's already, you know, polished it off in pretty decent fashion. But the guy just he emotes joy on a basketball court, and everybody kind of got a piece of it, and it was just fantastic. He is deserving of it. You know, we talk about how some of these guys, even though they might be spectacular athletes who know how to fill up a box score, they walk around as sort of, you know, people without moral compasses, you know, not, you know, it's easy to root for him, but chances are you actually wouldn't really like him. Dude, Steph Curry is the neighbor that will lend you a cup of sugar. I mean, he is just a normal guy who happens to have been raised in an NBA family and sits at the head of the NBA table right now. But he is, he's a real person. He's not a manufactured image. And I think that that helps, you know, his relatability with people. And it's why, you know, rooting for Steph is an easy thing to do for most. And what I fear and what Warrior fans fear, JT, is that Olympic gold medal will be the last, you know, great performance in a game with that much leverage on it. I certainly hope it doesn't end like that for the Warriors. But, you know, they just walked away from the possibility of adding Lauri Markkanen. And everybody watched the Olympics and said, you know, hey, man, this guy's still Batman. You got to go get him a Robin. So I hope that the Warriors put one more piece around him for one more legit swing at an NBA title, because Curry, he can still dance, man. He can.
No doubt. Hey, tell everybody about your YouTube page. You helped me get mine launched, and you got a really good one. Tell everybody how they can find you.
Well, you and I need to get together and do some stuff about the Raiders and Niners again soon, my brother. But YouTube, it's simple, Damon Bruce Plus. The podcast exists under the same name. It's downloadable anywhere. And I certainly would appreciate it if your fantastic audience would think about liking, subscribing, and let's go through football season together. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And San Francisco and the Bay Area is a big market for that. Talk to you soon, my friend. Thanks for joining us.
You're the best, JT. Have a great show.
You too. Thank you, Damon. Damon Bruce. You can follow him and what he does on YouTube. He's the guy who got me off the seat and said, build some YouTube stuff. It's good to have, and we've done that. But he's been doing it a little bit longer. Follow him if you like. And the Niners are big talk today. They went to the Super Bowl. They have 23 players injured right now, canceled their practice with the Saints, which would have been a nice working vacation. Ask me. It was great. And we'll see what happens with Ayuk. It's crazy. It's a big topic today. Nash in Houston. Thanks for waiting, Nash. Go ahead.
Hey, appreciate it, JT. Hey, just a quick comment on the 49ers. The first game against the Jets, it makes me think of last year when the Lions came in to Kansas City. I mean, it was a bigger game for the Lions, and I could see that for the Jets with Aaron's return and Saleh's return, that they're really going to come ready there. So I think that's going to be an exciting game to watch. But the topic you talked about was Raider quarterbacks. And I think something you can appreciate, JT, I mean, I kind of see him like brands of beer. I mean, I think Aiden is like your Modelo, and Gardner's more like a craft beer. I mean, sometimes the craft beers are kind of exciting and have a great taste, but other times they kind of leave you flat. And that's why I think that Aiden's going to be the guy, just because, again, that consistency, taking care of the ball, and just even the way that he performed, I thought was really good. It's just patience and, you know, he's just got to learn to move a little bit more in the pocket, but that's why I'm a big fan of his. And I think long-term he's better. And again, if he doesn't do it after the first few weeks, then again, I think it's a lot easier to bring in Garden after that.
A lot of people think that, Nash. Thank you for the call. Look, whoever you bring in, okay, say a quarterback doesn't win early and then his career's not over. You know what I mean? Like if a guy doesn't win the first two games, he's not done forever, but the pressure's on him to win one of these games. So if you want to bring in Gardner to win one of those games, why not let him play early? See if he can win one of those games. And then if he doesn't and you want to go with Aiden the rest of the way, whatever. I did not agree last year with not bringing Garoppolo back. Garoppolo, I thought, should have been brought back for one game, the Minnesota game. Garoppolo would have won that game. He was healthy, ready to go. He didn't play great all year. I'm not saying that you had to play him five games, but I thought Garoppolo in the Minnesota game should have played. This is not depth-defying. If a guy has a bad game and you want to go to Aiden O'Connell, go to him. If Gardner Minshew is a better matchup because he's more mobile against Baltimore on the road where he's played in that building before, he's got more experience, it's going to be a madhouse because it's the Ravens' opening game coming off a nine. Imagine if the Ravens beat the Chiefs, what their home opener is going to be like. Who do you want in that game? A guy who's played in games before or a guy coming off his rookie year? I don't know. Whatever the best matchup is. Coaches will make a good decision here. Will it be controversial? Could be. I told you this is a competition that could become a controversy. Next week at this time, we are going to be talking about the starting quarterback for the Raiders. I would hope we'd all get behind the guy. Right? I hope we all just say, okay, I don't know if I like that decision. It's not what I would have done, but we want to win. Let's get behind the team. That's the way I'm going to play it. I'm not the coach. I run the radio show. One of them. Let's see what they decide to do on. But it's going to be pretty close. It's going to be pretty close. I don't think if someone throws an interception against the Cowboys, they shouldn't be in consideration to start. I don't know how tight the race is. Most people think it's pretty tight. Thanks to Damon Bruce, Russell Baxter, Vince Sapienza, new guy on our morning show, and Jeff Sherman. It's a good show. I had nothing to do with it. Bobby booked it. Way to go. Tomorrow, another big show lined up. I'll figure it out in the morning. We've got an event tonight at the stadium. I'll head over to practice. And then tomorrow we have the open practice where I'll be on the sideline with an open microphone. We're going to have fun with that. Tell you about that more tomorrow. Q's coming up next. Always listen to Q. He's got a big three-hour show. I'll see you back here tomorrow, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.